You are invited to the 65th Annual Bethany Baptist Church Spiritual Revival and Missions Conference on August 3rd and August 5th through the 10th. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Alan Parr Jr., creator of the YouTube ministry The Beat, which stands for Biblical Encouragement and Truth. Plan to join us and be blessed by the Word of God, uplifting praise and worship, and awesome missionary testimonies. We know that you will be encouraged in your faith. For information, visit the Bethany Baptist Church website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or call the church office at 412-242-3255. Thank you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of America in Bible Prophecy. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of America in Bible Prophecy.
America will be a world power up until the end, all right? And so these are the people that believe this. You know, here's what they say. You know, Joseph represents America, and it says that he will be prosperous in end times. The eagle in Revelation 14, the lost tribes of Israel, the 10 lost tribes are America, referred to America. Babylon the Great in Revelation 17 and 18 referred to America. And then the young Tarshish, the young lions of Tarshish also referred to America. So now I'm going to tell you what Pastor Glaze believes, and you can, as I've said before, I know y'all get tired of hearing me say this. You can believe what others believe and be wrong, or you can believe what your pastor believes and be right. So personally, I think these are some good theories. I think that the people that have come up with these theories have thought them through. But personally, I don't believe that America will be in Bible prophecy. All right. So I'm saying that something is going to happen. I believe that something will happen that will cause America to be weakened. And I don't believe that the Bible lists America in Bible prophecy. So all those theories that are before that I have listed, you know, I think that even though they have been well researched, even though the people that have brought these theories to light, I just don't think that, you know, as I read the scripture, I don't see where America, you know, has a significant role in the end times. And I'm going to tell you why. One is I believe that America will fall to moral corruption. All right. And when you look at most world powers, you know, they didn't fall from the outside first, but they became corrupted where? Within. And so if you look at our country today, we are increasingly, you know, I think as far as technology and all, well, you know, we're becoming more advanced. But from a moral standpoint, you know, we're becoming a morally degenerate nation. You know, just look at some of the things that we see in our country today. We're killing babies, right? I mean, you know, the legislation is being introduced, saints, where if after a baby is born, that there's a certain window, and I forget what it is, so many hours, that if the mother or the parents decide that they don't want the baby, after the baby has been born, in certain states, there's legislation being introduced that you can kill the baby if it's not wanted. What in the world are we thinking? What is this country coming to that our government, right? And I'm not saying the whole, but there's governments in our country that actually think this way, that you can take the life of a baby, you know, after it has been born. Now, just think about many of you, and let me say this, because I don't want to, you know, there may be somebody out there that has had to deal with abortion. And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, God loves you. God never stopped loving you, you know, even though, you know, you had an abortion, you know, that never affected God's love to you, towards you. So, you know, don't think that God loves you any less. And don't think that there's not forgiveness. So, you know, God loves and God forgives. So I just want to say that. But, you know, I do want to say that, you know, how can, you know, rationally thinking people in our government think that it's all right to take the life of a baby when it's born, right? But yet and still, that's where we're headed. You know, you look at, you know, sexual sins. You know, man, man has committed every type of sexual sin that you can think of. And you know, when you think of Rome and Nero and how that he was fiddling, you know, and when Rome burned to the ground, and if you do research on him and see all the young boys that he had, that he was having sex with, right? And then you see the destruction of the country, pornography, idolatry, licentiousness, abuse. You know, when you think about the abuse that's taking place, you know, in our country, we see the moral decay at the foundation of our country. Now, I'm even going to say this. Yeah, I'm going to go there. I know some of y'all might not like it, but I'm going to go there. How in the world? I tell you what, I got a granddaughter, beautiful granddaughter. And I'm sure that all y'all will say that about your grandkids. Amen. Amen. You know, if you don't say it, amen. Beautiful granddaughter, right? Beautiful body. And it behooves me to think that a man who says that he's a woman can go in and shower with her. But yet and still, that's where we're headed, right? So when you think of the moral corruption that's in our country, you know, you have to ask the question, how much longer can, you know, how much longer is God going to put up with, you know, the corruption that's in our country? And I know, yeah, I know corruption is all over the world. You know, I understand that. But when you think about, you know, how our country was started, you know, even though, see, I'm giving too many sidebar comments today, right? I'm giving too many sidebar comments, but, you know, even though they ripped it off from the American Indian, right? Yet and still, I would say that it was built on the fact that they left England. You know, they were searching for religious freedom, and they and some of the things that they established, you know, were based on biblical values. Now, again, I guess in my mind, I'm still wrestling with, you know, how do you come somewhere where there's already people and you say this is our land? But, you know, see, why y'all get me started on stuff like that, right? You know, we have a biblical foundation, we have a Christian heritage. I might have to ask Rick to go back and cut some of that stuff out. No, just but Jeremiah 9:9 says, shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? And when you think about the voice of reason, who is the voice of reason? It's the church. It's us. And if we begin to think like the world, we see, we see the corruption that's here. We see the corruption that's taking place. And, you know, when the voice of the church is lost, then, you know, that kind of, at least, you know, there might be, you know, some slowing down of some of the immorality that we see. You know, when the church kind of speaks up against some of these things, you know, there's the slowing down. You know, it's just like, you know, when the police are chasing a criminal, you know, you see a lot, you know, when you watch like the news in California and stuff like that, where they have those helicopters and the police starts chasing you know, the criminal that's trying to get away. And then they start putting these roadblocks right in the way, and they start putting down these strips with nails in it that cause their tires to get flat. Well, the fact of the matter is that if the guy, the criminal that's driving the car, wants to keep going, you know, he finds a way to bust through the cars to keep driving, even on flat tires, right? So you might not be able to stop him. Eventually you can, but for the meantime, you can at least what? Slow him down, right? You can at least slow him down. And so as the church, you know, we need to look at the fact that we might not be able to stop some of this immorality that's going on in our country, but by us speaking up and having a voice, hopefully, you know, we can slow it down. All right. Probably spent too long on that point and said too much, but let me move on. America will be greatly weakened due to a terrorist attack. I think that, you know, our country is vulnerable, you know, to a terrorist attack. When you think about 9/11, you know, how vulnerable we were. And just think about on 9/11, where they hit. They hit the power sources of America. You know, what is the three power sources of America? Washington, D.C., New York City, and then they were going actually, you know, to other, you know, other places where they were actually coming back. Let me say the two power sources of America, New York City and Washington, D.C., even though they hit, you know, the place in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, they were aiming for the what? The power sources of America, trying to knock them out. And just think, if you know, the New York represents the what? The economic power source of America, right? And Washington, D.C. represents what? The military source of America. And if they knock out the economic source and they knock out the military source, then we see that our country will be greatly weakened. And, you know, some people believe that one of the reasons that Putin is acting up at this time is because he feels that, you know, America has been weakened, you know, that, you know, we've downgraded our military and we've, you know, pulled out of the Middle East, our presence there. So, you know, some people will look at that and say that, you know, America is becoming weakened, and the fact that we are open to a terrorist attack. All right. America will suffer a great economic recession. Now, and maybe I can get some of the financial people on this Zoom call. Maybe you can email me on the side or write me on the side. I'm trying to figure out how that we are trillions of dollars in debt, right? Now, again, I'm not, so if I'm being ignorant, please charge it to the head and not to the heart, right? Please charge my ignorance to the head and not to the heart. But I can't figure out how we are trillions of dollars in debt, and yet and still we give money out every day. You know, again, I'm, so let me say this. I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I'm all for helping Ukraine. I'm all for supporting them. I'm all for that. And I think we should do it. You know, I think that when there's disasters around the world, that we should help. No question about that. But I guess I'm just trying to figure out how can you, you know, it's just like in your own personal finances, right? If you are $100,000 in debt, you know, how can you go, if there's a fire across the street, you know, how can you go and help the people rebuild their house, give them money, give them enough money to rebuild their house when you $100,000 in debt, right? Now, again, I might be showing my ignorance, and if I am, please forgive me, all right? But I just, you know, I struggle with that. And according to, you know, a lot of people, you know, that America is very vulnerable to a economic recession. You know, just think about, you know, I think about Revelation, where let me see if I can find it. See, I didn't plan on saying this right here, but in Revelation chapter 6, you know, it talks about Revelation 6:6. And I heard the voice, and this is during the tribulation, right? In the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius, and three measures of barley for a denarius. And, you know, when you look at a measure of wheat, you know, and you think about, you know, what, you know, this verse was saying here, a denarius back in this time equaled one day's wages. So, you know, what did it say? A piece of bread will be worth one day's wages, right? And a measure of barley is 3 days wages. So, you know, I don't know about you, but every time I go to the grocery store, man, you know, this is getting crazy here. You know, what we're paying for groceries. And, you know, I don't even know a loaf of bread. You know, you think about, you know, what that costs now. And you see that, you know, somebody said that the average family is paying $200 more a month for groceries than we did a couple of years ago. Just think, $200 more a month that the average family is spending. So, you know, we can see how that things are headed in a direction where it could be, well, and already, you know, you think about, man, I'm thinking about that's $200 less in my pocket every month, you know, and again, I realize that there's inflation and that things, you know, do go up. So, you know, I understand that, but, you know, just to think how things have gone up so much, you know, in the last couple of years. Currently America is trillions of dollars in debt and going deeper in debt by the day. So it is quite possible that America will cease to be a super nation because it will go bankrupt. So, you know, again, when people say, well, where's America in prophecy? Some of the experts tell us that, you know, America will be so weak economically that, you know, they will have no voice, no clout, no power at all. And then this is a good reason right here too, why we don't hear a lot about America. Is America will cease to be great after the rapture, right? America makes the claim that it is a Christian nation. Now, there are many Christians in America, right, in key places. So let me say this too, because there's Christians all over the world. And so when the rapture takes place, Christians from all over the world will be taken up. However, you know, when you think about America, again, supposed to be a Christian nation, and if the statistics are right, you know, we have a lot of people who are believers. And so when the rapture takes place, you know, it only stands to reason that America will be affected greater than maybe any other place. You know, I mean, especially when you look at the Middle East, right? And, you know, those are all Muslim countries over there, or Buddhist, you know. So, you know, those individuals, unless they know Christ, are not going to go into rapture, right? So when you think about maybe the greatest concentration of Christians in the world, you know, even China, you know, the church is growing in China, but yet and still, you know, it's not as bold. Christianity is not as bold as it is here. So the chances are that when the rapture takes place, that a lot of Christians will be raptured out. And again, that will add to the weakening of America, which makes America not a key player in end times. So, you know, I've said this to kind of get us thinking about, you know, where America will be. You know, again, even though there are people that believe America will be strong even to the end, you know, I believe for the reasons that that I have listed, that America will be weakened. Now, again, I'll admit that some of it is speculation, but you know, it only stands a reason that we are headed in this direction. So, you know, what should be, you know, our thoughts and our philosophy, you know, is first of all, that's why, you know, Peter said to make your calling and election sure. And you know what? Before I am an American, and I'm going to say this now, I know I'm going to make some people mad now. I know I'm going to make some people mad. Before I'm American and before I'm Black, you know, I'm a child of God, right? And so I need to make my calling and election sure. You know, I might not have everything straight about my Americanism. I might not have everything straight about my Blackism, but I better have things straight about my believerism, right? I need to make sure that I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that if I close my eyes in death, or if the rapture takes place, that I'm going to be with the Lord. So no matter what happens in America, no matter what happens to America, I know that things between me and God are all right. Okay, so I'm going to continue, you know, to put my faith and trust not in the White House, but in the big house. Right, that's where my faith and trust is at. I need to make sure that I know that I know. The second thing that I will say is that, you know, we need to be in prayer, you know, for our loved ones, that they come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, every morning, my wife and I, we pray for our kids and grandkids. Many of them have made a profession of faith in Christ. So we pray that that profession is genuine. And we pray for the ones that might not know. You know, I was telling my wife yesterday, she was getting ready to go to work, and I was saying that hopefully one day one of our grandkids will come back and they will ask us, Grandma, Pop, did you guys pray for me? And that me and my wife will say every morning, you know. And then I said, they might start singing that song, Somebody Prayed for Me, Had Me on Their Mind, Took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. And so as believers, that, you know, we need to make our own calling and election sure. We need to be in prayer that our loved ones would come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then the third thing that I would say, and there, you know, there's a whole lot of things I could say, but the third thing I would say is that, you know, we should continue to, you know, lift up our voice against the immorality that we see in our country today. You know, I'm not saying that we got to get out here and, you know, beat people up and beat them down with the Bible. I'm just saying that whenever God would provide opportunity, that we wouldn't be like the people in Isaiah's day. And the people in Isaiah's day, they called that which was evil, good, and good, evil, that which was dark, light, and that which was light, dark. So, you know, we at least, because I, like I said, if the church loses its voice, you know, then who else is crying out for these things? Who, you know, where else are there people crying out, you know, against the immorality that's taking place in our country? It's the church. We're the last line of defense. And once we go, then, you know, that's it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the half of Religious and Economic Babylon, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, America and Request America in Bible Prophecy, that's anchoredinjesus.org and request America in Bible Prophecy from our Bible Prophecy series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible Prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.